From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington. Exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com. You're listening to the Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
And Danny. Hey everybody, it's the Brian and Vinny Show here on WrestlingObserver.com. It is January 2016, and yes, we are joined today by Danny, one of the...
Yeah.
That's right, Danny!
Hey!
Woo!
Yeah!
I like this guy.
Hey!
Danny, you live in Seattle.
No, hey. I live in Milwaukee.
Oh, man.
I was going to ask how you can have this much energy this late at night, and you're... Would that be the central time zone?
It's only 1, or maybe midnight.
Yeah, it's 1 o'clock here. And plus, I just got back from the NXT show in Milwaukee a little bit ago, so I'm still fired up.
That's right. He went to the NXT show. I heard they did an angle with Kevin Owens. Is that right?
Oh, my God, dude. It was amazing. Nobody thought... I didn't think. Nobody in the whole building clearly thought that Kevin Owens was going to be there. And Sami Zayn and Tommaso Ciampa had a hell of a match.
Fantastic. Wow.
Are you telling me Sami Zayn had the best match
afterwards,
on the show?
And then Kevin Owens' music hit and the place went crazy.
Wow. All right, well listen, we'll talk about that here in a little while when we get to NXT. Danny is one of the four people, he's the final one here on the show, that donated to the Whale Scout fundraiser that we do every year. He earned himself an opportunity here on the show. And Danny, over the years, has sent us in a lot of great songs.
Oh.
And he has prepared one especially for the show that I'm going to play after a while here. And at the end of the show, everybody, and don't cheat and fast forward, but at the end of the show, it literally took a matter of hours before somebody had turned the birth ping pong ball story into unnecessary censorship. Had a bunch of people asking me about it, and we got one. And we're going to play it at the end of the show. All you need to know is my wife and I were literally weeping as we heard this song. So that's coming up later. But Danny, it is Thursday, so you're well aware we're getting Granny on the show, right?
Wow. Vinny and Granny. Wow.
What more?
What a day.
What more could you ask? Yeah, NXT, Sami Zayn, Vinny, and Granny.
Holy cow.
It's mind-boggling. Stand by, everybody. Let's get Granny on the line. All right, we're back on the show, everybody. Granny is joining us here today. Granny, I want to introduce you to Danny.
Hey, Granny, what's up?
We got a guest host. Danny's on the line.
Danny who?
Not the Elvis impersonator. He's one of our subscribers. He's our guest host tonight. He was a Whale Scout donatee.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Hi.
Hi, Granny. Aren't I a nice fella?
You are.
Wow.
Yeah, Danny's from Milwaukee, Granny.
Oh.
Yeah. Danny, tell us a little bit about yourself, besides you went to NXT tonight.
Yeah, well, the saga continues. I, Brian, am a millennial, and just wait. I'm 32 years old. My fiance is 31 years old, and our daughter, believe it or not, is 14. We had her when I was 18. My fiance was 17. So we are a house of millennials.
Wow. So how? Well, to be fair, you're on the edge, dude. You're almost an Xer. But it is true.
Kind of.
That's amazing. Three millennials in one household. Two parents and a child. This has to be like the friendliest household ever.
We are very friendly. We go to the gym together. We bike ride together.
Wow.
We're a friendly bunch.
Have you ever grounded your daughter?
It's really hard. Okay, so our daughter, since we're the young, cool parents, our daughter and us have a different kind of relationship than the rest of her friends and their parents. And we see these people at all the school dances and things like that, and they're roughly my parents' age. So all her friends think we're cool as well. So, no, we never really have to go there with our daughter. She... we're just kind of like a unit. It's kind of weird. We feel like we don't even really even need to discipline our daughter usually. So, no grounding on this end. Maybe a couple times, but nothing too crazy.
All three in one generation. And this household will be three different generations. I will be 54 when my daughter is the age of your daughter right now. Definitely not the cool parent on the block.
Not the cool parent, dude. I'm around a lot of them 54-year-old parents at the school functions, and let me tell you, Brian.
Hey, be careful. Granny's on the line.
Oh, that's right.
Granny. Granny. How have you figured out your new Facebook yet?
No, I'm so confused.
I knew it. But at least it's set up, right?
It's set up, and I've had a lot of... a lot of action on it, but I don't know what I have to do with it.
A lot of action. How many followers do you have right now?
I'd have to look it up.
Well, everybody, what we've done...
That's a question I have. I mean, all these followers, are they automatically going to be my friend, or do I have to approve them?
No, you don't have to approve anybody anymore, Granny. Anybody in the world can follow you now.
Okay, so anybody that comes on to my other one... is a friend. Actually, I added some more on. I've got 806 on my regular one.
Oh, wow.
Well, I added quite a few because they sent personal, I promise, so.
Well, you did, Granny, but I did get at least a dozen emails from people that sent you a message and you did not friend them. But we don't got to worry about it now, everybody, because if you go to Facebook, look for Granny F4W. Two words, Granny F4W. Listed as an entertainer, and you can follow Granny, and then we'll start running some contests on there as well. So if you're on her Facebook page as a friend, you need to follow her as well, because that's probably where we're going to be running contests once Granny gets the whole thing figured out. But for tonight, we're not going to do a contest. We're just going to do a Q&A. Is that right, Granny?
Yeah.
All right. Anything else going on that's exciting?
Well, I just wanted to tell you, I actually watched some wrestling today, and I was looking at that Royal Rumble.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I found out who the five wrestlers are, and I wouldn't mind watching that. It's all those John Cena and Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair.
What?
Roman Reigns and Cold Stone Steve Austin. That's what they had on there.
What?
No? Am I wrong again?
No, you're perfect, Granny. Where did you see this?
Well, I got an email.
An email?
I get an email from them.
From WWE?
So, yeah.
Do you know how to forward emails?
Yeah.
Okay, can you forward it to me just so I can double check?
Okay. Right now?
Yes, please. There's a couple of those people that I'm not sure may be in the Royal Rumble this year.
Cold Stone Steve
Austin. Well, that's what I found out on that. Just a minute here.
Okay. I always love when you've got news for us on the show, Granny.
Cold Stone's favorite ice cream would include beer and meat.
Yeah. You never had the beer-flavored ice cream?
Actually, I have had beer.
Beef-flavored? You forward it, Granny?
Just a minute.
Okay. We got all night.
I just clubbed the mic.
Danny's only in Milwaukee.
Right.
He's all jazzed from that NXT. Was Eva Marie on the NXT show?
Oh, yes, she was. Holy smokes.
I know what you mean. But was the match any good?
No, it was terrible.
Hmm.
She wrestled, I think it was one of the two, Peyton Royce or Billy Kay.
I cannot tell them apart either.
Yeah, I know. So it was one of them. And the crowd had fun with the chanting match of the year and stuff like that. So, yeah.
God, what a millennial crowd. Can you believe
right?
that? Yes, Granny.
I'm having a little trouble here.
I'm stunned. What's going on?
It just went all white.
It went all white.
Yeah, I can't forward it somehow.
What went all white?
I've been having trouble with my computer anyway.
Huh. All right, Granny. Well, you work on that, and Vinny will start reading out the questions, and we'll see if we can just kill two birds with one cold stone.
Here we go, then.
Just a minute. Here we go.
Okay. It's very important.
You let me know when you're ready.
Vinny, you don't know these emails don't travel if there's sound. It needs to be silence when these emails travel over the internet. Yeah.
I just got to say, Granny's way funnier in person. I'm dying over here.
What was that?
Oh, gosh.
I'm having so much fun here.
Was that a dog?
I had it going for a minute now.
It's in the middle of sending. Is there like a status bar?
No, just a minute. I forgot to put forward too.
That is very important.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, now it should go. Just a minute.
Okay.
Your message has been sent.
Hey!
Wow.
Now we'll see if it gets here. All right, cool. Well, Vinny, let's start this Q&A.
May I?
Please.
Gladys, Ian Hamilton wants to know, do you have a favorite David Bowie song?
As a what?
Do you know who David Bowie is?
Oh, no. Well, I know who he is, but I never followed him or anything. I just know the name. That's about it.
If it was a question out to everyone, and I will say Under Pressure.
I was going
to
say, do you, Vinny, have one?
I was not the biggest David Bowie fan in the world. I've actually been listening to a lot since he died, and I have great respect for the man and the artist, and the music is not so much to my taste. But yes, Under Pressure, because it was with Queen.
Cool.
How about Dance Magic Dance from the Labyrinth movie?
That's right.
I was just thinking about Labyrinth.
Yeah, that was it.
That's my pick as well, Danny.
That's a popular pick. Oh, Brandon Scott McAllister asks, what was the first movie you ever remember seeing in the theater? Mine was Ghostbusters 2 in 1989.
First one I ever saw was Roy Rogers.
Roy Rogers, wow.
Yep.
I remember, actually I do remember mine, it was Popeye with Robin Williams, and I remember this because right when we got to the theater, my little sister, who would have been two or three at the time, she got locked in the car. And they got
how
my parents got out, and dad thought mom had the keys, mom thought dad had the keys,
and she was too young to unlock the doors. Is that
she was too young to get out of her car seat?
I see.
Yeah, so there was screaming and crying, and it was a big hullabaloo, and they got the door open, and mom took the baby home to keep her, try to calm her down, and dad took us to see Popeye.
Wow, yeah. I think my first movie was Star Wars.
Wow, mine would have to be Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, Part 1.
Vinny, control yourself.
I'd say anything.
Vinny reached for a knife when you said that.
Say anything.
It's his earliest movie memory, Ace Ventura. Choice. Wow.
Chris Aiken wants to know, Granny, do you like your new fan page?
Yes, I like it. But I like it better when I figure out how to use it.
All right.
Cool.
Jeremy Paul Wessler asks, if Brian ran for Congress, what campaign promise would he need to make to secure your vote? Did I read that right? Should I try that again?
No, I think that was all she needs, Vinny. All right. What would I have to promise Granny to secure your vote?
Well, all I would have to say would be Brian is the best. He has done everything, so give him a chance.
That's your promise?
That's my promise.
Your promise is give me a chance.
I've done everything. Give me a chance.
That's right.
Eric Gustafson wants to know, Granny, if you had to teach a birthing class, what would your first and maybe only lesson be?
This I got to hear.
Well, if it was like me, I would just leave it all alone, go to no classes, and just go to the hospital and have your baby.
Are you aware of how they had babies when Granny gave birth?
I hear it was dangerous.
They put her down with ether.
Oh.
Ether.
Can I get pregnant then?
You're not already?
No.
And I was born not with a doctor, but a midwife.
Oh, see? What's wrong with that? All right, Vinny.
And a lot of people have their babies at home.
That's true. Maybe we will, Granny.
Okay. Stephen Carr wants to ask Granny, were Brian and Vinny fans of Alan Rickman?
Have no idea.
What kind of a question is that?
Who is he?
He was an actor who passed away today.
Who asked that question?
Stephen Carr.
How the hell would Granny know?
I don't know.
Granny doesn't even know who it is.
The answer is yes.
There's a lot of new names on here.
That's right, Granny, because you added some new friends.
Yes, I did.
Thomas Stintzman Do you like dogs or love dogs?
I don't even like dogs.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm not like everybody else. I've had so much experience with pets that I just don't like them anymore.
Danny, was that a dog that I heard barking in the background at your house?
No. Like, it could have been, because I do have a dog, and get this, I have a little chihuahua, and I have a tattoo of him in my inner forearm. So I love dogs, Granny.
Wow, you have a chihuahua.
A chihuahua, yes, I do.
Your choice or your wife's, or your fiance?
No. Well, it's okay, so I'm full-blooded Italian, and she's full-blooded Puerto Rican, and her parents brought home a chihuahua from church one day for our daughter.
I was going to say chupacabra.
And I guess that dog is synonymous with Spanish people, as I'm sure somebody in your Mexican family has to have a chihuahua somewhere.
Believe it or not, none of them do.
Well,
yeah.
We have one, and yes, I really didn't care about dogs or animals at all before I got this guy, but ever since we've had him, I've been crazy attached, hence me having a tattoo of his face on my inner right forearm.
That is very sweet.
Thank you.
Mr. Ooh La La wants to know, did you see any new movies in the theater this year, and if so, what were your favorites?
Granny?
Haven't gone to a single movie, and I don't want to.
You don't want to go to Star Wars?
My brother called me yesterday and was telling me about a couple of movies that they've seen in the last week, and he said they're one of them especially I wouldn't want to see because it was too sad or something.
Huh.
But way back when all the, what do you call those? When the world first started.
What is she talking about?
When the guys dragged the women around with their hair.
Cavemen?
Yeah.
So there's a caveman movie he suggested that you don't go watch.
Yeah.
What the hell is she talking about?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Yeah, second question asking if you like your Facebook fan page so far. Everyone, pay attention. Read the other questions. Tommy Peterson says, Granny, today is my 30th birthday. Will you wish me a happy 30th?
Happy birthday, Tommy.
Wow.
That was very... Okay, I'm looking at Fandango right here, not the wrestler. I'm trying to find out what movie she's talking about involving cavemen. And I have absolutely no idea. The Revenant? It's a guy with a beard and long hair.
Oh, there you go. It could be Revenant. That's Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom
Hardy. when he was
yeah,
raped
yeah,
by
one.
A bear.
Yeah, that one with DiCaprio.
Okay. That's not a caveman, but all right, we got you.
Whatever.
Antonio Payne wants to know, do you like ice cream in the winter? Do you like tea in the summer? What's everyone's favorite ice cream and tea?
Wow. I like ice cream in the winter. And I like tea all year round, and I don't really have a favorite tea. I buy whatever I see at the store.
You know, when I figured out I was actually legitimately getting old was the other day I was really hungry. It was 1 a.m., and I went to McDonald's, and I got a double quarter pounder with cheese meal, which means there were fries. And I had the double quarter pounder with cheese, the fries, and then I had mint chip ice cream with magic shell on top. This is all at 1 o'clock in the morning. And then I went to bed. I'm not sure I'm recovered. I can't do that anymore. It's very depressing.
You don't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning like I do.
I sure did. I got up every hour on the hour thinking that I was going to vomit.
I had bad times.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it was bad.
Joe Del Buso wants to know, high weight, low reps, or low weight, high reps?
Huh?
Great answer. At Granny's age, it would be low weight, high reps. Like walking.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Patrick McGuire says, so Brian gets his money worth because he is paying for Granny to have the network. Since B and V don't review the retro pay-per-views, would Granny consider reviewing them?
Sounds like she's gonna, based on the Royal Rumble lineup she gave me about 15 minutes ago.
Speaking of, check your email, see if that's in yet.
Oh, I got it.
All right.
So the email that Granny was sent says here, watch the top five Royal Rumble performances.
I see.
Yes. So you can go back and watch John Cena's return and Shawn Michaels and all of that other stuff.
Well, that makes more sense. Roman Reigns fit in there? Happened. Okay,
Brian,
think about Roman Reigns and Royal Rumbles.
Brian?
Yes, Granny.
Pay-per-view?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, is that a pay-per-view? No, it's a best of. It's like a special. It's a television special.
Oh, could I watch it?
If you have the network, have you tried to get on lately?
Well, no, but I'd have to look. I could find it on my computer.
All right, why don't you see if you can find the network, and if not, I'll try to fix it up for you in time for WrestleMania.
I would like to. I'd like to watch that one.
Yeah, you could go back and watch that WrestleMania with Trump that you went over to Tony's to watch.
Yeah, really, that would be fun. Brian, did you watch the debates?
No, I did not. I was working.
Okay.
Did you watch them?
I sure did.
How were they?
It was okay.
It was all right?
Mm-hmm.
Great report. Next one, Vinny.
James Whitcomb wants to know, did Granny win at bingo? If not, when was the last time?
Last time was last Saturday. I won $46.
Hey, Granny, why don't you tell us about how you didn't want to win Powerball?
Well, you know, and there were three people that won one, California and a couple other states last night.
Vinny, are you aware? Hold on, Granny. Are you aware that Vinny V's biggest fan called into Observer Live today and he claimed that his buddy was one of the Powerball winners?
Did he now?
Oh, yeah. So maybe you should give this man the proper respect.
What am I not giving him respect?
I don't know.
I've given him nothing but respect.
Oh, now I see how it works.
Find me one example of when I have not respected this man.
Oh, maybe he didn't answer his question on Twitter.
I believe I have.
Hmm.
I'm pretty sure every question he's asked me, I've answered.
Well, I'm sure he'll call in tomorrow and tell me if I'm wrong. I like him, too.
He sucks up to me. That's the best way to get me to like you.
Wow. All right, let's do two more.
Ben Servo wants to know, what's the best word you ever played in Scrabble or Words with Friends?
Oh, I can't remember, but I've had some up in the hundreds. But I don't
100 letters. It's quite a word.
What the words were. That's using all seven letters. And maybe a triple or a triple word and a triple game.
Man.
Yep.
Okay, last one. Daniel Brewer wants to know, I'm a big Carolina Panthers fan. I'm looking forward to the game this Sunday. What are your and Vinny's predictions? I predict that if you go to footballoutsiders.com tomorrow, probably tomorrow evening, realistically, I will have an excellent game preview written. I'm at 4,000 words and counting. It'll be done by tomorrow night. You can find out everything that I'm going to say about it there.
Wow. It's the first time you've ever plugged anything on this show.
I know. Should do it more.
Granny, who do you think is going to win?
Of course, the Seahawks.
Was that one of the questions, Vinny? Was that one of the options?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Granny. Well, yes?
You know, this really isn't very fair because there's a whole bunch more.
Well, next time, Granny. What do you want me to do? We got a time limit here.
There are a crap ton of questions.
You want to save some for next time?
Some weeks you get like 8, and this week there's 40.
Well, you know, everyone is jumping in or something.
Well, then what did you expect?
I don't know. How many are left, Vinny?
Like 20 or more.
Danny's going to fall asleep right here.
Yeah, we're done.
We'll do more next time, Granny.
Okay, where do we leave off, Vinny?
Oh, I'll check. We can write this down. The last one here was a Daniel Brewer.
All right, remember Daniel Brewer asking the football thing. We'll pick up next week where we left off, Granny. How's that sound?
Okay, if you say so.
All right, very good.
So then next week there won't be a contest, so we'll just finish this off. Huh?
Sure, yeah, let's finish this off, and then when we get this finished off, we'll open up your fan page. How about that?
Okay, maybe I'll know more about it by then.
Granny, are you aware that within 4 weeks the baby could be here?
Oh, yes. There was a question there about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Something about Paisley. I saw it. I was going to ignore it, but... All right, Granny,
Well, can I read just the one to you, John Pincus?
Sure.
He said, are you more excited for Paisley's birth than you were for Brian's birth?
That's actually a good question. That wasn't the one I was thinking of. What is the answer, Granny?
Well, it's you were my first grandson, so that's was really very exciting. And she's going to be my great-granddaughter, so that's also exciting. So I'd say it's just about the same.
No, pick one.
This is my family, Vinny. I love them both equally.
Yes, both of them.
Yep,
I'm not picking one or the other.
Of course not. Well, you know the answer is me, Granny, but that's okay.
Okay, and then Wayne Gibson puts LOL.
Wow. All right, well, that's it, Granny.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Granny.
Bye, Granny.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, she's gone.
Well, I'm exhausted.
25 minutes. And five of that was talking to Danny at the beginning. So that was only 20 minutes of Granny right there. We usually gave her 30 minutes, but we got to get going here. We got a special guest, and poor Danny's in Milwaukee. Why don't you answer Danny's question now about his football team?
In a nutshell, I will just say that my 3 months ago, I would have had them as a co-favorite, and I would have told you they had the best quarterback in the world.
Who's that?
Aaron Rodgers.
Mm.
He plays football very well. And then teams figured out, hey, they don't have Jordy Nelson anymore. We can defend them differently. And the Packers have yet to adjust. So they've been, frankly, pretty bad over the past half of the year. But at any point, he may become the best quarterback in the world again. And so they scare me.
Well, dude, did you watch the Redskins game at all last week?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. And what did you think? I mean, I haven't seen him play like that for weeks and weeks and weeks. It seemed like he had a long ball, I think, to James Jones, and then he just flipped the switch, man, and he looked, you know, MVP worthy again. It looked like,
it's Washington.
Old Aaron Rodgers that everybody loves.
It's Washington.
That's true. That is true. Washington is horrible.
They are.
So you think no chance against Arizona?
I didn't say that. I think Arizona will win. I would not surprise me if Aaron Rodgers went nuts and threw five touchdowns and they won.
Hmm. Well, that'd be great.
I bet you think so.
And for more, everybody, you can go to footballoutsiders.com.
That's right. We'll cover that game in detail as well.
I can't wait.
I'll quiz you, Brian, on Sunday.
Please.
Actually, I hate talking to you about sports.
Literally zoned out everything you were talking about right there. Why are you talking to me about sports? We never talk about sports.
It's been a while.
And if we do, I'm always right.
Of course.
Vinny, was it not karma? That's the last thing I said about sports, and I was right.
Okay.
It's karma. What do you think, Danny? Was that karma or what?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I honestly have.
I'm gonna start a sports podcast with Danny.
I zoned out there as well.
When I get Powerball, which I didn't win, by the way. God, $40 I blew on Powerball.
You did not.
And then Granny goes and she wins $40 at the casino.
You spent $40?
Yeah, I did.
You're the cheapest man I've ever met and you spent $40 on Powerball?
Hey, it was even worse when I spent $40 and then I read that the odds were greater of me being hit by an asteroid than winning Powerball.
Significantly.
Yeah. Hey, you never know. Three guys won. And they'll probably be hit by asteroids next week.
Maybe they will.
All right. Danny, did you watch the NXT and Raw shows?
I did. Yep, both of them.
All right, well, let's start with NXT, and we'll talk to you about your house show here after a while as well.
Neat.
I hope it is neat. NXT, January 13th, 2016. William Regal came out on stage for a promo. He announced the Women's Battle Royal in the main event tonight with the winner getting a title shot, which I thought, boy, that sounds like a horrible idea. He brought out Sami Zayn.
Boy, were you ever right and wrong.
I was right, exactly. I was right and wrong.
Right and wrong.
Sami Zayn came out in his gear. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, he hasn't had his comeback match yet. And the out and out said, yeah, he wrestled on the London tour for when he's back.
Yeah, they showed that on television.
Did they?
Yeah. Where the hell have you been?
Maybe I missed a show.
I don't think so.
I do not remember seeing him wrestle since his injury.
He wrestled Perfect 10.
Yeah. Remember?
No.
What?
There's a lot of stuff throughout the show. They were talking about things on the Takeover London show, and I'm like, when was this? I kind of remember seeing that. I remember that it happened. Because what I remember about the London show is that Finn Balor was Jack the Ripper.
Dude, I'm going to subject you to impact testing after the show tonight.
Might have to.
Or just impact.
So. Oh, hey, it's back for free, baby.
That's right.
PopTV.com.
Woo! So Sami introduced himself to any new fans who did not know him. He took credit as a building block for NXT, the company that had just sold out a tour in the UK, but this was home. He started saying he was going to be a two-time NXT champ when Samoa Joe interrupted. Joe said Sammy did not deserve the title shot because last time he had one, Joe had to come out and save his life. And that was like 6 months ago. I remember that. He threatened to hurt Sammy's shoulder again, warned him to walk away, but this brought out Baron Corbin. Baron cut what I believe was the longest in-ring promo he's done. He said Sammy should go to the back of the line. Said Joe had lost a takeover while he, Baron, had won. He declared himself the uncrowned NXT champion, and it was not a bad promo.
No, it's developmental, dude. And yeah. If you're Baron Corbin and you can pretty much hold your own with Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn, good for you.
Yeah.
I thought he did a very good job.
Yeah. And they all bickered for a while, and it started to feel like a terrible Raw segment that somehow got on NXT. And finally, Joe left. Baron laid out Sami. Sami fought back and sent him packing. Joe teased a sneak attack, but Sami saw him coming, and Joe backed away.
That's it.
A lot going on there. Bayley did a backstage promo saying she had never faced someone like Nia Jax before. Beating her proved she had something inside her that she didn't know she had. And then this got great. They asked her as champion who she'd be facing the winner of the Battle Royal and her thoughts on that. And she got so excited. I love Battle Royal, she said, and I'm jealous I'm not in this one.
Oh my God, come on.
That was awesome.
She was lying.
She was lying through her teeth. And she said maybe she'd give the winner a hug. This was awesome.
Very sweet.
He did the winners of the 2015 NXT Year-End Awards as decided by fan voting. So, of course, all the babyfaces won. They actually had awards. It was like a ring bell in gold on a plaque. And they passed them out to everyone.
An ugly plaque.
It was not. This is not an award. This award would go in my closet. Not on the wall, not on my shelf or anything. And they all cut brief promos thanking the fans and vowing to keep fighting in 2016. The most notable thing here is Brooklyn won for Takeover of the Year, which
yeah,
that title just made me laugh. Not Show of the Year, Takeover of the Year. And Bayley versus Sasha, of course, won for Match of the Year. And because this is NXT and they're not dumb, they did separate segments with Bayley getting an award and then Sasha getting an award. They did not put them together and force them to pretend to be friends.
Hey, you know what else they did? Bayley was the Female Competitor of the Year. She was not the Diva of the Year.
True.
Bayley called them women.
Yeah.
There was no mention whatsoever of divas. That's why this show is great and Raw sucks.
One of the many reasons.
There are a couple.
Tommaso Ciampa versus Danny Burch.
Did you go through all of the different awards?
Oh, you want me to?
Yeah.
I thought I did. Maybe I did not. Enzo and Cass won Tag Team of the Year.
Ridiculous.
Bayley won Female Competitor of the Year.
Good.
Finn Balor won Male Competitor of the Year.
Good.
Brooklyn won Takeover of the Year.
Good.
Bayley versus Sasha was Match of the Year.
Good.
And Balor won Overall Competitor of the Year.
There you go. And you know what?
Jeez, Brian, how dare you? I love Enzo and Cass.
I love them too, but how can you be the Tag Team of the Year if you never even won the Tag Team titles?
Dude, the Usos were out for 6 months.
I know! They were both dumb. I like Enzo and Cass, but it's just kind of like, when I watched these votes right here, this was so much better than the Slammies.
Yeah.
And the Slammies, they half-assed try to take seriously. So, like, every single one of those you could make an argument for, but when I saw Enzo and Cass as the Tag Team of the Year, I was kind of like, I wouldn't have voted for the Mechanics, but really? I don't know.
I mean, who was it before the Mechanics, the Dash and Dawson? Before
it was
them?
The
Vaudevillains. Villains or something? So,
the Vaudevillains.
I would have picked Gable and Jordan.
Sure.
If not Enzo and Cass, but yeah.
Although they weren't a tag team champion either. Who was before the Vaudevillains?
Blake and Murphy.
Okay, so it's been a shitty year. All right, fine. Enzo and Cass were a good pick.
I'm glad we got that settled. Tommaso Ciampa versus Danny Burch. This was awesome because if you were paying attention, Ciampa to the NXT fans is a star and Burch is an NXT jobber and always has been. And so They're the NXT fans, so they do love everyone, but they love Tommaso more. And as this went on, and Burch was not going down without a fight, he kept making comebacks and kept cutting Tommaso off. And the fans and Tommaso both started to get frustrated. And you could feel, frustration and tension was building. And it seemed like they were building to the big upset win. And then Ciampa put him in a cool bridging armbar and won. But that was a hard-fought victory for Tommaso Ciampa.
So when I saw this, I thought, I don't think Tommaso Ciampa is under contract. And they just had James Storm, who had won matches on NXT TV, jump ship to TNA. And so I emailed somebody and I said, is Ciampa under contract, or why is he getting like television wins over guys like Danny Burch is an NXT guy? So isn't that kind of weird? Aren't they worried that he could up and go to TNA tomorrow? And the answer was, they think if you go to TNA, you're a fool.
Yeah.
So I guess they don't give a shit.
No.
It's like, if this guy wants to go to TNA, that's his loss.
Yeah.
They think that the TNA will be out of business by the end of the year, which it's TNA, so it won't be.
Right.
But that's what they think. So they think if you leave NXT to go to TNA, that's a bad decision. So apparently they're not concerned.
Yeah.
Tommaso Ciampa had a hell of a match tonight with Sami Zayn, and he is an Italian from Milwaukee, so I gotta love the guy. But he was crazy over tonight too. I didn't actually even know he was from Milwaukee. If Brian, do you know, or is that something that they made up because for whatever reason?
I don't know. I don't know where he's from.
I thought he was from Sicily.
I am now thinking that maybe he must have just signed a deal or something like that. I don't know everybody, but they're. I mean, obviously it was a house show and everything like that, but that's a pretty a win on television and then like a main event deal. That's pretty good.
Even just flying into Milwaukee.
All right, this year wow, do you know what Tommaso Ciampa's real last name is?
No.
Whitney.
Oh, how about that?
Oh.
Tell me his first name is not Eli.
No, his real name is Tommaso Whitney.
Oh.
And it says here that he is from Boston.
Hmm. And maybe he's a worked Italian because Whitney is not an Italian last name. So, God, he's not.
Well, it's not, but Tommaso is his real first name. So, a worked Italian.
A worked Italian, yes.
It worked for Tracy Smothers.
I won't stand for that.
Enzo and Cassidy, backstage promo on Dash and Dawson.
Hold on a second. So, you know, on Wikipedia, they have other ring names that guys have used?
Yes.
All right, let me read a couple of these. Thomas Ciampa at one point, Tommaso Ciampa, went as Dr. Thomas, the Prodigy, and for reasons completely unknown to me, Thomas Penmanship.
Penmanship.
What?
Of the fighting penmanships.
That's what it says right here. Thomas Penmanship and Tommy Penmanship. Wow. Cool.
At least you can pronounce it.
Well, that's true.
Unlike Ciampa or Tommaso. Enzo and Cass did a backstage promo on Dash and Dawson.
Danny.
My first observation, Enzo was orange.
He was citrusy. <He's>
had a lot of vitamin C. So they had a very good, serious promo, serious by their standards. They said Dash and Dawson were cowards. They were hiding behind a woman, using the belt as corsets, and they were going to get them back. And also, of course, they were soft.
Yeah.
Well, Enzo is my guy, as Brian alluded to, but in this promo he had a cheetah print hair clip in his hair.
Dude, that concerns you?
A hair clip in the middle of his head?
Enzo Amore!
Have you seen the guy's head? That clip is the least of his problems. Maybe he was holding his head together. He had one too many bad haircuts and split his skull.
So they gave, I believe, all the women in the Battle Royal got a small bit of camera time to put themselves over, basically. And one of them, I'm not sure, one of the bottom of the card women, but her promo was to brag about getting knocked out by Asuka.
Diana Perazzo or whatever. I wonder if she's a worked Italian.
Hey, it's an underlying theme here. It's Italian night on the BNV show.
It is. You know, I did love that was her calling card, which was, I was the girl that got knocked out by Asuka.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to win.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Let's see.
Regal announced that in 2 weeks, Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe, and Baron Corbin would have a three-way for the top contender spot. Dash and Dawson versus The Ascension. Holy cow, when you see them next to The Ascension, you realize how tiny Dash and Dawson are.
Well, the Ascension is large.
Not really. They're bigger than many guys in NXT, but they're not the Road Warriors. They're not the Powers of Pain. In fact, I would say Rick Victor's an average-sized man. So in Dash and Dawson, you have two guys who work very, very well together, and they're very, very, they have excellence of execution, as they as has been said, but they are small and they are bland. So they got the heat on Victor almost immediately. Worked him over for about 3 minutes, got the hot tag to Connor, and the NXT crowd got to see their favorite oaf make his big spazzy comeback. Victor got dumped outside. It looked like his back went right into the LED board. It looked terribly uncomfortable. And the champs pinned Connor with the shatter machine, which is still cool. Regal met with Nia Jax and the doctors, and Nia's buddy Eva Marie was also there. And they determined that since Nia had been choked out by Bayley, it was still unsafe for her to compete, and so she was out of the Battle Royal.
This was so dumb, and I like NXT, but they claimed that she was choked out at TakeOver, which was almost a month ago, and the doctor ruled that because she had been choked unconscious a month ago, she was still not cleared to compete. Have I ever choked you out, Vinny?
No.
Okay.
It's happened.
If you allow me to right now, mm-hmm. you could compete in this Battle Royal in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You're not suffering brain damage because you got choked out. Now, on top of that, if that's not stupid enough, she didn't get choked out. She tapped. She got put in a hold, and she gave up. It's the best they could come up with.
I don't care, Brian. I don't disagree with any of your points. They're
you're
very
right.
valid.
I agree with what you're about to say.
It's worth it in the end. Because Eva Marie, it was announced that Nia would be unable to compete. And so Eva first tried to console her friend. It's okay. I'll take care of business. You just rest and get better. And then she stepped back out of Nia's sight, and she did a fist pump.
Well, that's kind of what happened. You missed the beginning. When the doctor is explaining everything about the chokeout, Eva is smiling broadly. And every time that Nia Jax turns around, she wipes a smile off of her face. And I was watching it going, you know, this is not bad. Eva's, you know, it's kind of a little subtle, but it's not, you know what I mean? When she did the fist pump, it was like she became Sid. She just became Sid. And not Sid at the Alamo Dome. She became the Sid that was so bad he was awesome.
Yes.
A fist pump.
Best thing Eva ever did. We had more quick promos from the women. Peyton Royce called herself the Venus Flytrap of NXT.
What a gimmick.
This name needs work.
Yeah. You know what I do got to say, though? Whoever is writing NXT decided, fuck you, WWE. I'm going to show you how to build interest in a Battle Royal.
Sure.
Everyone will talk about how important the Battle Royal is to them and how important it is for them to win and how badly they want to win. Unlike the Royal Rumble, where they haven't done a goddamn thing in years to build that up, aside from one 30-second highlight video.
The Drifter faced Corey Hollis in one of the worst squashes I've seen in I don't know how long.
Oh,
God.
Did the Drifter work this house show, Danny?
Oh, my God. Okay, so listen. They thought this was a good idea. This goofball was at the bar in the venue when his music hit, as if he was an actual drifter at a corner bar drinking by himself.
You gotta be kidding
me. He had his guitar on his back, and when they hit his music, he finishes his drink at the bar. He turns around to cut through the crowd. It takes him at least 5 minutes to get through, I don't know, a couple hundred people and up and over the guardrail with his big-ass guitar on his back. Everybody is chanting, please hurry up, next match, you know, heckling him. And he finally gets in the ring. His entrance goes like another 5 minutes with him taking his shirt off and sitting in the corner. And then when the match started, he wrestled Bull Dempsey, by the way. And when the match started, his gimmick is to act like he's going to hit somebody and then go back in the corner and strum his guitar for another couple minutes. This was the worst time of my night when this goofball was in the ring tonight.
Wow. You know, when Elias Samson debuted and he had that match, his debut match, it was not bad. Okay? This sucked.
So, we've been watching a lot of squashes lately in great 1980s TV shows, and the deal is, you have 2 minutes, maybe three, to get yourself over. Therefore, these guys are going out there, and frankly, they're getting all their shit in. They're doing all their cool stuff, so they look cool. Then they win. The Drifter goes out there. He's fighting Corey Hollis, who looks about a buck 20. Drifter is big, by the way. He's a large, muscular man. And he hits him like twice, and then the match goes on pause. And he goes to the corner.
The fucking recliner, Elias Simpson.
And he sits there.
Samson. Whatever his fucking
Who
name
cares?
Is.
Who cares? Doesn't matter.
Dude, let me tell you the thing that... here's when I first got set off. It was before he began reclining. They do a spot where the Drifter puts Corey Hollis in a headlock, okay?
Oh, God.
And Corey Hollis is trying to figure out how to get out of the headlock. So, everybody knows how to get out of a headlock. You push the guy into the ropes, and then you shoot him off. That gets you out of the headlock. And then you do a high spot, right?
Sure.
Okay. So, Elias Samson, as he is pushed into the ropes, grabs the top rope. Have you ever seen this before, Vinny?
Can't say that I have.
Have you ever seen this before, Danny?
No.
All right, you want to know why you haven't ever seen this fucking move before? Because if you grab the top rope, you're not holding onto the guy's head with two hands anymore. Fucking Corey Hollis can't get his goddamn head out. He just stood there. The Drifter's got an arm around him. And Corey Hollis can't figure out how to escape as the Drifter is holding onto the fucking top rope. And then they start sleeping on the mat. This goddamn Drifter. Like,
he what? Appeared to be bored with his own match. So eventually he won with a neck breaker.
Shake, rattle, and roll, because he's got a guitar.
Sure. He grabs the guitar, and the fans are chanting Freebird, which is funny. And then he declared, what this place needs is what I am.
I'm sure it was a lyric from some...
I believe he quoted Edie Brickell.
Okay. Dude, there was exactly one good thing about this match, and that was every time the referee had to talk to him, he called him Drifter. Not Elias, not Samson.
Dude, I did the same thing. I didn't write Elias or Samson. He's the Drifter.
Well, after watching this match and hearing Danny's report, what I would like is for the Drifter's gimmick to be that he drifts all year long, and once a year he hops into town, does his fucking match, and then goes drifting again. This was so boring.
Yeah.
Two things about the Drifter. One, he looks like a young Macho Man Randy Savage.
Kinda.
In person. Yeah. And two, too bad the goddamn Honky Tonk Man wasn't around from 19 years ago on Raw scoping this guy. He'd be perfect.
He would have been perfect.
He would have been better than Rockabilly.
Except for, like, the entertaining part and the greatest of all time part. Not a fan of this match. No. God bless the fella.
It didn't go well. Someone named Alex interviewed Finn Balor backstage.
God, can this guy just turn heel already? This was so boring. And I love Finn Balor.
Yeah.
He bored the shit out of me.
Talked about fighting Joe being a mental and physical challenge, but taking on challenges is
just
what
like that line was for Vinny.
It was, yeah. And he put over all three dudes in the three-way and said he would win no matter what, and it was not very exciting. More women's promos.
I'm almost positive that Cameron said that she was a fuck a dactyl. I'm positive she said that.
Aaliyah has too much energy. Like, I just wanted to
man.
Calm down.
You didn't watch Breaking Ground.
I've not seen Breaking
this
Ground.
Was a, yeah, you saw Danny? This was a season-long storyline, her trying to get a match on a house show. And now all of a sudden, she's in a main event on NXT TV.
Mm. And Liv Morgan is the latest name for that one hot blonde from New Jersey.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Horrifying promo, though.
Well, it's got to start somewhere.
Whatever she said at the end. Don't ever say
she
it
was
again.
Doing fine, talking about representing in Jersey and all this, and then she just made a noise.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a Jersey thing, but...
So they do...
Actually, the kids do that, and she said she's going to do it for the gram, meaning Instagram.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Hey, that'll get over at Full Sail.
Probably will.
It'll get under with me, like Elias Samson. Let's talk about how awesome this match was.
Before, the last thing, they did these promos. The last one was Asuka, who was just staring, leaning against a brick wall, and she just calmly said that she was going to win, and then she smiled, and it was scary.
All right, allow me to speak for a minute about this match. First off, Eva comes out, and she's doing her human peacock entrance, and Asuka comes up behind her and mimics her, which makes Eva very upset. So Asuka comes down the ramp, and Eva's going too slow, so Asuka shoulder bumps her. And I was like, slow build for the match of the decade. It's coming. Asuka Eva is coming. Get in the ring, and very quickly, Asuka kicks Eva in the face, and Eva rolls under the bottom rope. And I immediately knew what the finish was going to be. I was so happy when they did it. This was like, how many times have we talked about how when you can figure out where the storyline is going because it's what makes the most sense, and they deliver, wonderful. I've never seen anybody upset because they figured out where something was going that they thought would be awesome, and it actually went that direction. They did this exactly like they should have, and it was beautiful.
So, you mentioned that Eva came out, and she had her interrupt. I don't think you gave it enough credit. Eva's coming out, and she's doing her pose, and then Asuka's big, scary mask appears on the screen behind her for her entrance video. And Eva turns and sees Asuka coming. She's annoyed. Her entrance has been interrupted. The gall of this Japanese person to interrupt her entrance. But she's Eva Marie, goddammit, so she's going to carry on. And she turns around, and she's got her robes out, and she's prancing, and she's posing, and it's very slow, and Asuka has no time for this bullshit, and just elbows her out of the way.
That's right. I got a terrible battle royal I got to participate in.
She gets in the ring. The first 30 seconds and last 30 seconds of this was the best battle royal I ever saw. Everything in the middle was terrible. But,
oh, yeah.
But, so, Asuka's the last one into the ring. I guess technically Eve would be the last one into the ring. Asuka's standing in the corner. I think there were a dozen women in there. And they're all on the other side, the other half of the ring. They're all in that half, and Asuka's in the one half. And they're all staring at her, and they're all scared. Because she's the best. Eva, though, is so angry and so dumb that she gets in Asuka's face. So Asuka drops her with one kick, and Eva disappears. This did nothing to make the other women any less scared. They just watched her kill someone. So eventually, Emma was able to sneak behind her and hit her with an elbow, and then this became a terrible battle royal. And when you think about it, most battle royals suck. 95% of battle royals are awful. It's the developmental women's division doing a battle royal. This is bad times. Asuka's great. Emma's fine. What else was in this match?
Nothing.
Alexa? So for about 10 minutes, it's just boring. It is not cringeworthy bad. And as soon as I typed, it is not cringeworthy bad. Who was it that tried the powerbomb?
It was Liv Morgan.
Liv Morgan tried the powerbomb on Cameron. And
for the gram.
I hope this made the gram. Look like she has smoked a gram. So,
wow.
Got her up.
Good one.
They just fell down.
Yeah.
And God bless them, because they are green, they jumped to their feet and did the exact same thing over again.
Let's talk about
maybe no one will notice.
Let's talk about what was supposed to happen. The idea was, and keep in mind, it's Liv Morgan, who is as green as can be, and Cameron. Their idea was Liv will lift her up for a powerbomb, walk her all the way to the ropes, and powerbomb her over the top rope to the outside, but Cameron will hold on, and then Asuka will throw both their asses over.
Yeah.
That right there, who the fuck thought, hey, this is a great spot for you two?
I don't know.
Well, lo and behold, they fucked it up, and then they tried it again.
So it came down to the final four in the ring of Emma, Asuka, Peyton Royce, and Billie Kay. I actually recognized Peyton Royce and Billie Kay.
I was stunned.
Yeah. And then I was alerted. I knew Eva was still in the match, but on the floor. I was alerted Carmella had also at some point rolled out under the ropes. And I'd forgotten about her. So the Emma was quickly eliminated. And then it became Asuka against the two geeks. They had tried to dump her. They failed. They turned on each other. And it ended with Asuka putting them both on the apron and knocking them both out of the ring or to the floor with a double flying hip attack. That was awesome. And then Eva appeared immediately, and she dumped Asuka to apparently win. And she starts playing her horrible air guitar and celebrating. And the crowd's booing.
Oh, my God. They were furious.
Well, kind of. Because it was more like... It wasn't so much rage as a resignation. It was defeated. Damn it. They put Eva over.
Over Boo. Asuka.
Over Asuka. Boo. But then, when Carmella hit the ring, and eliminated Eve over the top rope. We've been watching these old 80s stuff, and we talk about how the crowds don't react like they did when the Rock and Roll Express won matches. I stand corrected.
Oh, yeah.
The Full Sail crowd, when they were saved from the scourge that is Eva Marie, jumped up and down, waving their hands in the air, screaming themselves hoarse.
Yeah.
It was the best thing I ever saw.
It was so awesome because the beginning and the end was all a build for Asuka versus Eva Marie.
Absolutely.
That will win the NXT match of the year. Trust me, when they do the voting next year, that's the one that's going to win the match of the year. Asuka destroying Eva Marie. Beautiful show. Any other thoughts on hopefully that one, Danny?
Well, I'm just saying, hopefully they don't put Eva over Asuka.
Oh, no.
At Project.
This ain't Raw, dude. This is NXT.
One can only hope.
I can't imagine. What else did you see on the NXT house show? Then we're going to play your song.
Let's see. Well, some notable people were not there. No Samoa Joe, no Gable and Jordan, no Asuka. So that kind of sucked. I wanted to see old Gable and Jordan and Joe, but they weren't there. The main event was Corbin, Apollo Crews, and Finn Balor. They just did a pretty much a house show main event. And yeah, I think we kind of touched on basically all the other key points. It was fun though. It was a lot of fun.
Well worth the ticket.
Definitely.
All right. Danny's got a song for us here, everybody. He has done many, many songs in the past. Would you like to explain this before we play it, Danny, or should I just play it?
Oh, no, I'll give it a little quick thing. So I love that you're in love with Sid now, because when we first got the WWE Network, we got it like the first day it came out. And now just a quick backstory. I'll go real quick. I stopped watching wrestling when I was like 15 when Vince... It was the multicast where he was on Nitro and Raw.
Yes.
That was the last Raw I watched until 3 years ago.
Wow.
So I stopped watching wrestling for like 13 years.
Vinny is so jealous right now.
Well, I am. But
but he started watching
well,
3 years
brother,
ago.
He was a big fan like throughout the whole time. So once in a while I would order the pay-per-views at my house and let him come over and watch. And my daughter got interested in it like 3 years ago. But now, however, she is kind of growing out of it now. And I'm stuck in the cycle, so I'm back stuck in the wrestling cycle. But anyways, when we first got the network, they did that countdown show, and it was a top 10, like, biggest blunders or something, and Sid was number 10, and to this day, me and my daughter watched that at least once a week. It is, like, the funniest thing ever, all of Sid's promo flubs. So, since you're in love with Sid right now, I took his best, like, promo flubs and just threw it to some music and got you guys in there as well. So I put it together in about 30 minutes before I left to go to NXT.
This guy's very talented. Here we go.
Spinderella cut it up. Come on.
So let's talk about Sid.
Baby.
But you're only half the man that I am. And I have half the brain that you do.
Baby.
Let's talk about Sid.
Sid. So let's talk about Sid. Sid.
Bro, shut up, you fat ball headed little old.
So let's talk about Sid.
How do you address those skeptics?
Well, the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, pal.
Sorry. Anybody has any doubt, we'll get their answer tonight.
I love Sid. God, yeah. He's great.
That was excellent.
Oh, man. I got so many songs from Danny from back in the day.
So many.
Where'd you get these talents?
Well, I used to do music, dude. I was a music producer, and I did music myself for years and years and years and years. But as my daughter got older, I just it fell by the wayside. But now I do produce a couple podcasts and things like that. So I still play around with audio and things like that. So I just have fun with it. But I think my claim to fame is, and I don't know if this gentleman is persona non grata or whatever, but I'm going to say his name here on this show. I think my claim to fame was like a month after I got my subscription a couple years ago. I did that Todd Martin impersonation. Well, I impersonated
the explosions.
You, but I put Todd Martin in there with like all the background noise and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And you, Granny, and Vinny lost it. Like, I never heard you guys laugh that hard. So
I lost it, and I didn't even hear the original call, so I didn't even get the joke. It was just funny on its own.
Oh, yeah. I don't have that one here, but I do have this one.
Hey.
CNC Wrestle Factory. Move, 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 moves. Move, 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 moves. Another move. A million moves. A million moves. A bunch of moves. look good. Move, move. The moves look good. People in the house. Move. Move. Moves a million. Did they do a million moves? As a fan, I was unmoved, coincidentally. Ironically.
Yes.
Another guy should be paying to be on this show instead of vice versa. All right, let's do Raw, and we'll do my unnecessary censorship that I was sent at the end of the show.
So you know how I joke every week about how Raw opens with a 20-minute boring promo?
Yeah.
And the truth is, yes, it opens with a promo every week, but they're usually not 20 minutes, or not always 20 minutes. They're not always boring.
Yes.
Someone pointed out on Twitter, this is the fifth week in a row that a man has come out to open the show, Roman is interrupted, and they have jibber-jabbered for a while.
Yeah.
Yes.
I wasn't surprised at all. I thought it's been only five.
Yeah. So they did have everyone out on stage for, allegedly, this is the guys who are going to be in the Royal Rumble. Damian Sandow still employed?
You know what's funny about this, by the way? If you add up all of the people that have been announced for the Rumble, everybody on the ramp, it comes out to like 34.
Yes.
there's going to be surprises.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing.
Some of these bastards are really in trouble.
As usual, they don't pay as much attention to their show, even as we do, let alone their fans. So Vince is picking out people on the stage who might win that Rumble, because, of course, his ultimate goal is just get this belt off Roman Reigns. He doesn't care who wins. So he suggests Dolph Ziggler might win. Now, you used to make fun of me for saying Dolph Ziggler when it's Dolph.
Dolph.
I contend that Dolph is a better name than Ziggler.
He's a dork.
Sure.
God, did you see him, by the way, when Vince called him out?
He looked embarrassed.
God, he just like rolled his eyes and shrugged and looked sheepish.
Well, you want to go backstage.
It's like, man, dude, just try. Please.
You hate Dolph, Brian.
Hey, you know what? I'm sure he's a nice guy.
This wasn't even, maybe it was for you, this wasn't even hatred for Dolph as much as sympathy.
God, you should have seen the texts I got from people in WWE when they put that fun fact up about how Dolph Ziggler has a successful comedy and stand-up career. Oh!
People disagreeing about this one?
Oh, man. Yeah.
So the McMahons tried and failed to mimic the New Day's catchphrases. The Wyatts appeared, said their goal was to make it anyone but Roman. Vince mentioned Brock Lesnar. So Roman comes out. This crowd for about... Well, there's an overrun, so more than 3 hours, this crowd was into nobody. There was, the chants for Roman were so half-assed that Stephanie was going out of her way to try to get them synchronized, and she failed as well. Roman wanted to know, what happens if I win? And first of all, I would think it'd be the same as any championship match. You'd win. You get to keep your belt. Second of all, Vince says, there's a small chance you could win. It's astronomical, but it's possible. Now, Brian, I know you hate when they say the 25% chance, the 1 in 3 chance, but there's 30 dudes in this match. He's one of them. And given that he is champion, that means his odds are better than average. So his odds are better than 1 in 30. That's a long way from astronomical.
I'll say, maybe Vince knows something we don't know.
That's possible. It's possible.
Especially with the Powerball going on, Vince can't throw around that term astronomical, right?
Hey, that's true. And actually, those odds were astronomical if you take into account the asteroid hitting you. You know what I mean?
They should have had the Powerball winner gimmick. Dolph should have won Powerball. That would have been something. All right. Let's see. So McMahon booked Roman in a one versus all match for the main event, which he never really specified what it would be, except there'd be a lot of men in it.
Fuck. Can we be more generic? He didn't say how to win,
no.
How it worked.
No.
He didn't say one goddamn thing about it.
No, except Roman would be outnumbered.
They had 6 days to write this show.
Yes.
And they couldn't even come up with rules.
I've said before, man, it's the worst group of writers on earth.
Plus, it was a one-against-all match, and he fought one guy.
Basically. That's basically
what?
True. I don't know. What are you looking at me for? So then they're talking about maybe Dean will be in the match, and Vince says, no, Dean is in the match right now. And then Sheamus jumps Dean from behind, and it's Sheamus versus Dean. And here's everything I wrote about this. They were having a perfectly fine little TV match, and then they brought outside and both got counted out.
Oh, yeah. Four non-finishes on one show.
Yeah.
Can I point out something about that opening segment? You know who tries so hard and just wants to be noticed so badly? It's Bubba Ray Dudley. When Sheamus knocked Dean Ambrose down the ramp, he was the only dude reacting at all. And he was reacting like he was appalled. He couldn't believe it that Sheamus, and he acted like he was going to go after Sheamus for a second. Bubba Ray tries so hard, but I don't think they will ever do anything with him other than this tag team.
God bless him. He does try.
God bless the guy.
You're right. So Sheamus got legit busted open going into the ring post. I bet that sucked.
You know, I don't want to curse the guy or anything like that, but I did hear that they have considered allowing him to be Bully Ray.
Good.
It'd be better than this.
It'd be much better than this. So
I never watched TNA, so I don't know. I never watched one episode, but I heard about him.
Bully Ray
was
much better than Bubba Ray Dudley, especially in 2016. There was a time when Bubba Ray Dudley was new and fresh. It was a decade ago.
It was a decade?
More than that, yeah.
15 years ago, minimum.
Yeah.
18 or so.
So Owens runs out and he lays Ambrose out. And then after the break, Renee interviews Ambrose backstage. He assures her he is still alive and kicking and says this is bad news for Owens. The McMahons bumped into Paul Heyman backstage. He sucked up to them, but that, of course, meant he had a favor. And the favor was he didn't want Brock Lesnar to be in the Royal Rumble. He wanted Brock Lesnar to be in the WrestleMania main event facing the winner of the Royal Rumble. They agreed to talk behind closed doors.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I like that idea. I cannot wait to see Brock Lesnar in the Royal Rumble. Look at all the geeks. I had an idea on Observer Live, which I'm going to mend somewhat because we may have some actual really good people, but they got to do the deal where Brock ends up in the ring and like 15 of these geeks come out and he kills them all one by one. And so we have 15 moments where Brock is the only guy in the ring just hanging out.
Awesome.
Why not?
I think it's great.
Send out a geek, have him beat the shit out of him, throw him over the top rope, and just hang out till the next geek comes in. And just one after another.
It's just pace.
And if he ain't going to win the title, finally, whoever's going to face in Mania can throw him out. This is hard.
I don't know what to tell you. Chris Jericho came out for one of the saddest segments I've ever seen. Chris Jericho's been all over
the
world.
They edited out Titus O'Neil versus Stardust.
For like the fourth week in a row, I think,
I can't believe that. Yeah. Well, Titus O'Neil won. That's it. He hit his move.
I keep...
And then Stardust beat him up afterwards.
Oh, God. I keep reading the report of this match, and Dave writes, O'Neil won with the Clash of the Titus.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
It's like D'Lo's move.
Oh, the power... The
short power bomb
yes.
gimmick.
Okay, yeah. Got it, yeah. So Chris Jericho came out. Chris Jericho's been all over the world at every level of the sport 20 years now. Legit Hall of Famer. Amazing career. This may have been the low point. He's out here with a television, putting tweets on TV, openly begging for cheers that never came. This actually, I cringed watching this. I felt bad watching this. He vowed to win the Rumble and win the championship. New Day came out. Jericho got a Lemmy tribute and then got the crowd chanting Rudy Tootie Booty.
Kind of.
Well,
they very briefly humored him.
The New Day said that's not even a thing. The Usos came out for more wacky comedy and cheerleading. The Babyface tag team came out to brag about their slammy. What has wrestling become?
I don't know.
I go back and watch these 80s shows. It's a bunch of pissed off badasses ready to kill each other. I watch the main event or the top level tag team on Raw. It's five geeks who want to dance and tell jokes.
Yeah.
So we got Usos versus Kofi and Big E. Best thing to the show on this point was Xavier making fun of Kofi's long gone Jamaican accent. Match was mostly dancing and goofiness. They got the heat RVD style. Shoved a guy off the top rope into the dashboards. Xavier did a trombone comedy spot that died, and Jericho scared him to the back. They went to break. When they came back, both of them were just back. Match went on for a long time. Jericho blew the trombone in Xavier's face, then broke the trombone, which got a mixed reaction. And Xavier's over-the-top selling. It went past cartoonish and fun and into stupid and insulting.
Yeah. He was crying because this guy pulled his trombone apart.
Yeah.
Isn't he supposed to be rich?
He can't buy a new fucking trombone. I don't know.
It's so valuable, but you still bring it to ringside for matches.
So lost in all this comedy was the Usos winning with a schoolboy and a distraction finish.
Vinny is so excited about this show.
Day's decent, but man, don't you agree that they need to dial it back like a million?
Yeah.
I have not been a fan of the New Day for, God, at least a month.
This is a perfect example of Vince liking something, and he's like, just more, 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 until you're sick of it. Yeah, Xavier crying over his trombone.
Not even just crying.
Wailing.
Yeah, hysterics.
Yeah. I could not believe my eyes.
Not a you fucker, you broke my trombone. He's going to need counseling now.
Let's imagine, it should be difficult, if Sid came down to the ring with a trombone.
That'd be awesome.
Brian, that's your best idea ever.
Okay, so Sid is on the marching team for the softball games that he plays in. He's multi-talented. Yeah. And he comes out with a fucking trombone, okay? Now, as he comes out with the trombone, he's in a match, and Shawn Michaels outside breaks his trombone. Let's imagine what would happen. Sid would go out there and tear him limb from limb. He would take him in the ring and powerbomb him repeatedly. He'd cut a hilarious promo, and he would talk about how the earth shakes when he talks, or whatever the fuck he said. But he certainly wouldn't cry! Was bullshit.
On that note, they updated everyone on John Cena's shoulder injury and long absence. This company's fucked.
He'll be out a number of months.
Yes. The Romans and Paul Heyman had their behind closed doors meeting in front of a camera for all the world to see. Stephanie McMahon, do they know how dumb she appears when they write this dialogue for her?
Of course not.
She tried to explain that having a chance to fight 29 men for the title at the Rumble would be better than getting a chance to fight one man for the title in the main event of WrestleMania.
Yes.
That was her point.
Well, her point is they're heels and they're out to make money, and so she's not thinking about anything except what would make the most money for us.
Which would be Brock Lesnar in the main event of WrestleMania.
Well, you know, you're right.
Yeah.
Bad argument.
Brock being a random geek in the Rumble, as much as we like the idea of him killing everyone, is not a better idea.
Well, maybe she was thinking, we're going to get him on WrestleMania one way or the other. We may as well get him on the Rumble as well.
We'll see. So, Heyman outright refused to put him in. Stephanie said they controlled his contract and they were forcing him into the match. JBL went into the ring to announce Sting for the Hall of Fame. We got the Sting highlight video, and I hate this company, but the one thing they still do better than anyone else's highlight videos.
That reminds me.
Oh, no.
I texted you about this.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of this, Danny. On those old retro Raws, when they were building up to the Royal Rumble, and there was those two geeks that are at the Alamo Dome waiting for the Royal Rumble.
Right.
Okay, the ones that Vinny's burying all the time.
He hates them, yes.
Yeah, I don't remember their names, and I'm not sure which one it was.
Adam and something.
Adam. The guy Adam in that commercial. That guy went on to become the guy who does all of these awesome video packages for WWE.
Damn.
Yeah.
God bless him. I love these.
That's right. So you can thank Adam for this, Vinny.
It is, in fact, Adam. Adam and George.
Yep. Matt Adam is the same guy in Edge and Shawn Michaels when they could do their Hall of Fame speeches and they randomly mention Adam.
Yes.
This is the guy they're talking about here.
Well done, Adam.
Yeah.
Well done.
I don't know what happened to George. No one mentions him.
He was the Marty Jannetty of Adam and George.
Oh!
I was just about to say that.
Poor George.
Poor George? Let's compare Marty Jannetty to George. Poor Marty.
Oh, that's even worse for George.
Maybe George is doing some video packages for like an indie fed in Buffalo or something.
Hey, maybe he's... what are you trying to say here? Hey, maybe he's the guy that does those TNA video packages. And thought
there
about
you
that.
Go.
Much better.
The Nexus of Humanity.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
He's the guy behind the Nexus of Humanity. Please, before you go on, Vinny... Tell me that they cut out the Wyatt Clan versus the Social Outcasts.
They did.
Oh!
Oh, come on.
God, was this match something or what, Danny?
I had a good joke. I wanted to say that the only thing I had prepared was this one joke, and I think Vinny's going to love it. The Social Outcasts, I can't remember who won or who lost or what the hell happened, but when Ryback came out to make the save, tell me you did not get a Revenge of the Nerds ogre feel when Ryback came out. Ryback is Ogre from the Revenge of the Nerds, and the social outcasts are the nerds.
Even I get that reference. He loved it. He did.
And how great would it be if Ryback from now on hangs out with these dudes and just mutters nerds under his breath all the time. With his mouth, nonetheless.
Yeah, with the big mouth. Yes, the social fucking outcasts against the Wyatt clan. And as they're doing, they did a promo, the outcasts. And Bray Wyatt is sitting in the ring howling with laughter. Like, look at these fucks. And then the outcasts come down to the ring, and Bray Wyatt and the rest of the Wyatt clan stand on the apron, and he sends Braun Strowman into the ring. And one by one, every outcast goes in and fails to do anything with Braun Strowman. He throws them all around like fucking dorks, and then finally, Ryback's music hits, and he runs down and saves the nerds. This segment sucked.
It did get cut.
Oh, my God. I'm telling you right now, if I hear them say the chains are off one more time about Curtis Axel, I may boycott the show. That's his new thing. The chains are off.
What chains?
The chains holding back Axelmania. Now the chains are off because he's a social outcast. I swear to God.
Clearly I'm missing something because this is making sense to me.
No, that's what they say.
Something here is not connecting.
The chains are off. Curtis Axel is now free to be himself.
Renee interviewed Kalisto. He said he represented all Latino people in the U.S. fighting for opportunity.
Like me.
Apparently, yeah. And Danny's wife. He compared himself to John Cena and Eddie Guerrero, but said Alberto Del Rio was a poor champion who ran from fights. He vowed to give it his all tonight. And honestly, this was a hell of a babyface promo.
Hey, hell of a match.
Kalisto versus Del Rio for the U.S. title. It was good. It was very, very long, and this crowd didn't care. Until, I guess by the end they did, which is a sign of a good match.
Do you want to know why they didn't care?
Because no one believed Kalisto would win.
Exactly. Yes. Because everybody thought it was going to be every bullshit 50-50 finish we've ever seen. So at the end of the day, yes, they got a big pop, and everybody was surprised that Kalisto won. But you know what? Maybe if he didn't do 50-50 booking all the time, the fans would have been into the whole match like they are when we watch Raw and Nitro from fucking 1996.
Yeah. So yes, Kalisto became the first guy to sit up and avoid the foot stomp in the corner.
Second guy.
Somebody else did that?
Yeah. All right. Uso.
All right. So they're on to him. Get a new move, Al.
They figured out, you know what? We don't have to hold on to the fucking top rope and elevate ourselves.
That's right. It's not that they sit up, it's that they lay down.
Yeah.
They lay down and get out of the way.
They have to relax every muscle, and then his move fails.
So, finally, Kalisto won with the roll-up, and the crowd was very much into the finish and very surprised by the end. So, it was a good match. It was not necessarily fun to watch on TV because...
Come on, Danny. What'd you think? I thought it was great.
I liked it a lot, and you know what? And I like Del Rio lately.
Ever since,
I think him and Cena had some like promo battle a couple weeks ago. Ever since then, I like Del Rio. Del Rio was boring me to tears before then, but now I don't know. I like dude. He has something about him that I like.
That's right.
You know, you said earlier I was jealous of Danny for missing Raw for a decade plus. Actually, he missed the good stuff.
That is true.
It's this last 3 years since he's come back that has been the worst.
That's right, Danny. Danny, are you telling me you came back when they went to 3 hours? Because you're the one.
I know, man. It's terrible. It might not be exactly 3 years. The first pay-per-view I watched back was the Money in the Bank pay-per-view that Del Rio actually won, and then Daniel Bryan won the other briefcase. So I think that was maybe like 2011 or 2012.
Okay.
Maybe 4 years.
Something like
yeah.
that. But
yeah.
It went to 3 hours shortly after I started watching it.
So it's your fault.
It is all my fault, yes.
Danny started watching. It's working.
Yeah. Now that we got this Danny, let's add another hour to Raw.
Roman Reigns versus a bunch of dudes in the main event.
Oh, wow. Okay, so before this, they had JoJo interviewing Rick and Charlotte, and it was your typical whatever. And so the match was supposed to be Brie versus Charlotte, but Becky ran down and beat the hell out of Charlotte. And the highlight of this is all these geeks come down to clear the ring, and Becky's going crazy. And Ric Flair grabs the mic, and he starts screaming, "Hey, What the hell are you doing? He tells the ref Charlotte is in no condition to wrestle tonight, and it's all because of Becky Lynch. And then he goes, hey, you shut up, fat boy! It was right out of 86. And then he just took his daughter to the back.
Oh, thank God for Ric Flair.
Told a fan he was a fat boy.
I love it.
Isn't he the best?
So, yes, Roman Reigns versus, I don't know, 15 guys.
Oh, yeah?
Whatever it was.
One guy.
Well, yeah. Cole's outright saying, we don't know how this match is going to work. We don't know what the rules are.
And we never found out.
I guess we never did. First, I thought it was going to be a gauntlet match because Owens was in the ring and everyone else was out. Then everyone else climbed on the apron. Then they climbed back down off the apron. And then by the end, they all just run in it anyway. Clearly, they were making this up as they went along.
They may have been. It may have been a shoot.
No, shoot would have been much more entertaining.
No, I mean, maybe Vince didn't even tell the guys.
Oh, that actually, yeah. That would not surprise me at all. So it was essentially a Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, boring match. The only highlight was Stardust and the New Day doing cheerleading. They entertained me. Nothing happened for 5 minutes, and then a bunch of geeks hit the ring. Ascension, still employed. Stardust, Tyler Breeze. Not a DQ, because no one knows what the rules are.
God, what a crew of guys.
Should put them together, actually. So Roman.
Hey, remember when Ascension and Cody were together?
They were together for like 2 weeks.
Whoa, yeah. That went somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So Roman killed all the geeks. So Del Rio, Sheamus, and the New Day hit the ring, and they are not geeks, so they beat up Roman, the six of them. And then Brock Lesnar finally arrived, the only man the entire night to get a superstar reaction.
Because he's the only superstar.
That is true. The New Day are dumb, so they were happy to see him. He killed everyone, and the only guy, he was trying to do stuff with Owens, and they were on different pages. And when Brock was done, he shot Owens a look, like, you fucker.
You ain't getting WrestleMania, buddy.
Yeah. And he did hit Sheamus, who was huge, with an enormous belly-to-belly. And he dragged Roman's prone body to the middle of the ring. He had cleared the ring by now. He pondered his options for a while, and finally killed Roman with an F5. And Cole said, this means Brock's going to be in the Royal Rumble match. It does.
Yeah, it does.
Apparently, Brock is Chewbacca and Cole is Han. I'm still doing that every show. So that was that. Thank God for Brock.
That's a better streak than anyone has had on Raw.
It actually is.
Three straight shows you've succeeded.
I got that analogy in there.
Yeah. You are Roman Reigns.
I suppose.
Thank God for Brock Lesnar. I am so excited for Brock in the Royal Rumble. That will be very hard to screw up, because it's Brock.
They'll have him be number 30.
They could screw it up then. But no, you know what? If he's number 30 and there's 18 guys in the ring,
that's
and
true.
He throws them all out,
that's true.
The only flaw in my plan is that Roman Reigns holds the record, and I don't think they're going to let Brock Lesnar break the eliminations record.
That was our shows.
You know what?
Yes, Danny.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, actually, I was thinking about it. You guys blamed me for the 3-hour Raw. I'm blaming you for making me stick around and watching this. The reason I still listen is because I run a carpet cleaning company in downtown Milwaukee, so I need copious amounts of audio throughout my workday, and you guys supply me with that.
Yes.
You guys, I just realized, are the knuckleheads that are keeping me watch, because my daughter don't even watch this shit anymore. So it's all your fault.
No, watching. No.
Yeah.
I encourage people every week to stop watching Raw.
You ran some guy off the board the other day.
I ran someone off the board. I chased away a paying customer.
Yes, you did.
He was mad about me. He was mad about me.
He was mad that you had the temerity to give your opinion.
Yeah, yes.
He wanted you to give the opinion he wanted to hear alone.
That's basically correct.
Which apparently is that, well, I guess Raw's great.
Yeah.
Which would be lying to the customers.
Raw's a terrible show, everybody. Do not watch.
Wow.
I can't say this explicitly enough.
Danny, I apologize.
All of you.
Now you got it. You know, you set him off.
I'm on fire now. All of you have something better to do with 3 hours on a Monday night. Call. I'm sure you haven't called your dad in too long. Give your dad a call. See what he's up to. You got your old college buddy. Probably haven't had a real good night out with him. Take him out, have a few beers, see what's going on. Go to museums. We live in a beautiful natural world. I guess it's night. That wouldn't work. Listen,
There's hundreds of things you can do. Read a book. Write a book.
Don't do that.
Try.
It's very hard.
It is.
Took years off my life.
Well, if you write a good book, it's hard. Writing a shitty book.
How dare you?
I didn't know. Well,
you're
yours
right.
Was hard.
I got it. You're
yes,
right.
Yes.
I apologize.
Point is, it's better to write a bad book than watch a bad Raw.
Hey.
And they're all bad.
Okay, calm down, dude. Listen, everybody. Vinny isn't telling you to stop watching wrestling. He's telling you to quit watching Raw.
Yes.
And if you want to watch 3 hours of wrestling on Monday night, trust me, there's a lot of it out there. You don't have to watch Raw. So Vince isn't trying to run anybody off here. He's just saying, don't watch this show.
You got Brian doing damage control over there, Vinny.
I'm doing my best. I'm trying to keep Vinny employed here. Hey, Danny, why don't you plug your carpet cleaning service?
Hey, if anybody lives in the greater Milwaukee area, especially downtown, the name of our company is Remove Your Shoes Carpet Cleaning. So if you need anything clean, we do mattress cleaning, drapery. We do we come to you auto detailing, carpet cleaning. We're basically a commercial carpet cleaning company. But if you call me from the show, I'll do some residential work and I'll hook you up. And yeah.
Wow. How about that? Danny, were you listening last week when somebody asked Granny the question? She wanted to know if we were assholes who made you take off your shoes when you went into the house.
Well, I listened last week, but I do not remember that part.
Maybe it wasn't that show, but somebody asked that question, and I couldn't even believe it. Everyone has to take off their shoes when they come into my house.
My house, too, goddammit.
Yeah. And you know what? I've never had Danny do any work for me, but I have had the carpets cleaned here in this house, and it is great. Isn't it great, Danny, to clean someone's carpets, and it's like, it's spick and span afterwards?
Well, see, that's where I got the idea from, a friend of mine growing up, his parents had a carpet cleaning company, and we used to work with him while I was like 12 years old, and we'd work with him during the summer, and I saw how much money this dude was making, and I'm like, man, that's what I'm going to do when I get old. So I've had the company now for like 8 years, and it is super cool. I mean, we work in all the high-rise buildings downtown, and they're all super nice, and we work in, you know, all the five-star hotels down here and high-class hotels, and we make things look good, and it is cool.
Well, it sounds like you may be co-hosting every year now, Danny, with all that money.
I think so, man. It might be a permanent fixture.
All right, listen, here we're going to play this song. Hopefully it lives up to the hype. This is Unnecessary Censorship, My Trip to Baby Classes. I am determined to get this goddamn inside the... Do you remember how we were supposed to do it? Were you listening?
I was, and you had to, like, pull the neck all the way back and then, like, open it with your fingers. Like,
okay.
And it was hard. That's why I had
all right.
to do it.
I didn't hear that.
No.
So
said, otherwise, it'll get stuck in the neck like a...
So you're...
exactly what happened. So everybody has the in the except me. And so everyone else is listening to the next part of the instructions. I am busy trying to get the goddamn...
Can't think
and
at the same time and listen.
Exactly. And so my strategy to get the into the is to jam the into the. There's no technique. It's just like, here's the hole, here's the. Shove that goddamn thing in there. So I jam the into the.
Been even here.
Vigorously.
I get paid.
It takes me. How long did it take me to get this goddamn outside?
And you're turning red, and you're so frustrated, and it's funny to me because
I'm nearly right now.
It's funny to me because you are so insecure about being the.
It's not insecure. It's that
yes.
I wanted to do this.
No, you did not.
I did not want to. I did not want to be the only one that didn't have the on the. Okay, so I get it exactly where it's not supposed to be. It's jammed in the. That's as far as I can get it in. I cannot get it the rest of the way in. So then, as I wipe from my I have the inside the of the and I can't get it any further. So my plan is, I'll start blowing the up now. Doesn't work. Does not work. So now I look like a complete shithead here. And so then it's like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I didn't pay for this. I'm not being graded and or charged.
You should have just... And used mine.
No, nope.
Mine was inflated already. I was already halfway through the
Whitney,
exercise.
Never give up. So I take the and I was just like, boom, boom, boom.
No, I swear to you took the put it underneath your arm and then yanked on it to try and shoot your out.
And the I swear to God, it shot all the way across the room and hit another mom on the other side of the room. And I'm so proud.
No, you should not
I succeeded. What a high spot at the
big
end.
Big finish, yes.
Oh, my God. Wow. The best part of that is
this class has sounded more fun than you made it sound.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you. Whitney's friend Kaylee took the same classes, and so she sent that to Kaylee so she could have a good laugh because they had to do the same thing. You know what Kaylee said? She goes, you should play that for your mom, Whitney, at the baby shower. I was like, are you kidding me? Wow. That's a story for another show.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. It's time. Danny, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today. A fine job.
Hey, thank you, pal.
That's right. And hey, keep sending the songs. I want to thank you for all the songs you've sent in over the years. Some absolute classics. I've cried many tears because of you, Danny.
Wow.
That's right. Check out Danny's carpet cleaning service. If you're a listener, he will give you a special deal. And
oh, and real quick, too, man. Sorry to cut you off. I know you're wrapping up. But if you want to see some footage from the NXT house show in Milwaukee, can I plug my YouTube page? I uploaded some footage if people want to check it out.
Sure. It'll probably be taken down by the morning, but go for it.
Probably. It is youtube.com/TheRadCastPodcast. All together. The Radcast Podcast. And you can follow me on Twitter at Talent Couture, all together.
Talent Couture, and I presume it, the Radcast Podcast. They can hear the Radcast Podcast.
They can. If you guys are into Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, TV shows like that, me and my friends do recaps of those shows, and you can find them all there.
Wow.
Bunch of shows better than Raw.
That's right. Hey, you can watch those instead of Raw. That's right. The Radcast Podcast. Danny, thank you again, and of course, thanks everybody for listening. We're going to be back on Sunday, WCW, NWA, Saturday night, as well as Ring of Honor and more. And that is it. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.
Bye.